That. Guys, I don't even remember life before Joe Buck's fan.
You have to start to tweak your system every 2.5 years because when they catch up to you, you're done.
Ira, you drive a 2020 cherry red Ford Escape. You love that thing. You leased it and then you bought it. Yeah. It's from Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Why do you like that vehicle, Ira? Why do you still have it? And why do you love Bill Curry Ford?
Well, you love being high on the road, high on the hog. Very, very easy to maneuver. The mileage is good. It's got all the bells and whistles. There's nothing I dislike about this Ford Escape. Love the look of it, the color. I see other Escapes on the road, Steve, from other models from other years. Ours looks the best. It's just the best model. We absolutely love this Ford Escape. And BillCurryFord.com. And by the way, I hear you gentlemen paid him a surprise call the other day, Steve. How's Sean Sullivan doing?
Yes, we wanted to take the Bill Curry Ford test, of course, like every Bucks fan can. We walked into the front door of Bill Curry Ford, and we demanded to speak to Sean Sullivan because he gives personal service to all Bucks fans a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And Leah said, we also want to see Mel Kiper. And, of course, that was a nod to Sean, the host of the Best in Class podcast and the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. But get to Bill Curry Ford. Be like the sage. Be like me. Be like Lee. BillCurryFord.com.
And ask for the Ira Kaufman discount while you're doing it.
I think he had a good year. I don't think he had the Super Bowl year, but he still had a very good year.
He wasn't some slappy.
Ira, for your listeners and for JoeBucksFan.com readers, there is $500 off any services from Florida's Elite Restoration if they have a disaster in their home or at their business. But that's only if they use Florida's Elite Restoration services after their free assessment, after they consult with the experts there at Florida's Elite Restoration, whether it be a fire or mold or flood in their home. So what a great opportunity to knock some money off your deductible if you're using insurance, or just if you're paying cash for some sort of mold remediation or a cleanup of a situation, you'll get $500 back. Just mention it before you use Florida's Elite Restoration. If you buy their services, and owner Josh Martin, 14 years as an insurance adjuster in the industry, he knows all sides of it. Just let them know that you heard it from Ira and from Joe Bucks fan, and they're going to take care of us Bucks fans out there who have a problem in their home this summer. This is the season for it.
What's the number one thing you're looking for when you're going to make a call about possible mold, possible water damage? You're looking for honesty. That's what you're looking for. And you're going to get that from Josh Martin. And remember, above all, the consultation is free. No obligation. Let them come out. You've got Josh Martin and his people. He's hired a great staff, and you're going to get $500 off any project that ensues. Florida's Elite Restoration should be your first phone call before your insurance company. First call.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Buccaneers fans, here we are again, the Sage of Tampa Bay. Sports just finished eating some French fries, but he did go with the salad. And, of course, we're just a mile or so from Bill Curry Ford, Ira, which presents all of your work here at JoeBucksFan.com. But this time we're at Hooters, not at the stadium, after underwear football, having a little fun. Lee DeCamper's here. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. And, Sage, as the folks have already seen, the title on the podcast, on their app, either at Podcast Addict, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, they know who our special guest is today, so we're excited about that, obviously. And we'll get to that, Sage. But, of course, everything is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Through July 5th, very fittingly, Ira, military, medical, and first responders get a rebate. Other dealers give a $1,000 rebate. Bill Curry Ford and GM Sean Sullivan, he's giving $2,000 of bonus cash. All the details are at BillCurryFord.com. And even better, they've got their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. You can get a custom price on a vehicle, order it with no deposit. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Sean's got so many great offers. Just a great family-owned dealership for the last 62 years. All right, Ira, you were sweating your balls off out there at practice, doing your thing, talking to people, watching Kyle Trask. How the hell are you?
My middle name should be Discount, Isbitz. That's what it should be. Between Florida's Elite Restoration, Bill Curry Ford, you're getting the Ira Kaufman discount. Steve, I think the big news of the day is that I had a Hooters salad today. 430 calories. That's right, DeCamper. 430. added a little grilled chicken. Maybe that adds about 10 more calories. Guys, do you realize that at the end of this week, it is going to be 7 weeks of not a lot of Buck news, other than maybe we hear Gronkowski signed a contract. However, in the next 7 weeks, you two troublemakers are going to continue to write 6 stories a day of fresh Buck material. I don't know how you do it from mid-June to late July before training camp opens, but we were out there today, Steve. It was warm. We had some good interviews. Mike Evans, I want to talk a little bit about Mike Evans, Steve, but it's your show. But
what the hell are you talking about? Just start talking about Mike Evans. It's not my show.
Lee. Ira Kaufman podcast.
I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about this, about Mike Evans for a while. And today just reinforced it. The guy is a godsend. He's a godsend to Buck Nation. Not only is he a hell of a player who is on a Hall of Fame arc. He's almost there. He does it another 2 or 3 years. He's going to be tough to deny if he's not there now. I'm already thinking of making a speech for him. You know, in 2033, who knows when he's going to retire. But, Lee, what strikes me even more about Evans the player is Evans the representative for the organization. He's fantastic. And I put out a tweet the other day, and Rock Riley's sitting here with us, about Steven Stamkos, Lee. And I know you don't follow him that closely, but he's a tremendous representative for the Lightning. He always says the right thing. No excuses. And Mike Evans is right there. Competitor, maybe a notch below Brady, which means he's better than anybody else in the league besides Tom Brady. And just to listen to him talk about how the rough times he went through the first 6 years, he figures he's never going to make a deep playoff run. And now he's got even more motivation. We ought to appreciate Mike Evans while he's here. And I'll throw one more thing at you, Lee. They always talk about Mount Rushmore, Steve.
Who's they? Who talks about that?
It's a they.
I never talk about that.
It's Rock Riley.
Mount Rushmore. What is this?
Lee, Mount Rushmore is a very common thing in sports. They talk about, you know, who's on the Boston Mount Rushmore. Well, that's easy. It's Tom Brady, Bobby Orr, Ted Williams, and Bill Russell. I mean, there's no competition. Those are your four. Larry Bird is a fifth, but he doesn't make it.
Ooh.
So anyway, so Lee, I'm going to extend Mount Rushmore for our purposes to 5 guys.
Can't do it.
And when you get past Sapp and Brooks and Barber and Lynch, it's Mike Evans as the 5th greatest player in Buccaneer history, because Brady hasn't been here long enough. Mike Evans is that good.
I mean, there's so many ways you can go. First off, there's no such thing as 5 heads on a
mountain. First thing you should say is, I agree everything you said, Ira. That's the first thing.
There's a one-liner there about Mount Rushmore and someone that works for the Bucks that I won't mention.
Do you have one negative thing to say about Mike Evans as a Buccaneer?
Of course not.
Absolutely not.
But here's what Jason White, although one would be very premature, but he's in the same arc.
That was Light's
as Evans.
First draft pick. Correctly?
That was his very first draft pick. Light, arguably, has drafted 2 Hall of Famers. Who's the second one, you think?
You're thinking down the line with Tristan Wirfs.
Yes, Tristan Wirfs. Mark Dominic, well, he did draft LaVonte David.
I know
you're shaky on his Hall of Fame status. Bruce Allen and Chucky, they're lucky to draft a Pro Bowler. Forget Hall of Fame.
A starter, you mean. Yeah.
So Light's had much more success. Forget the Super Bowl if you can. He's had much more success.
And Lee, hold on. Let me stop you right here. Lee, is this a stretch? Going into the 2014 draft, when they were doing the draft profiles, and when it came to Mike Evans, there were some people that thought that the quarterback made the wide receiver. It turned out to be the other way around. The quarterback at A&M didn't make it.
Oh. Well, I can't sit here and say Manziel was horrible. I mean, the Browns ruined him. That jackass that coached him, he's with
Minnesota. But he never did anything as a pro. He didn't do anything.
2 different animals. You can be one of the best college players that ever lived. I could sit here and rattle off all kinds of guys who were dominant in college, didn't do anything in the NFL. Steve Enton springs to mind.
Vince Young didn't do too much.
Hey, Ira,
not
look.
Too much.
Evans, okay? Come on now. I agree with you. He's standing up there, though. He's 29 years old next month, or in August.
You would think he's older than that. You know, you would think.
Well, he's been around a while.
He carries himself like a real veteran. He's a joy for all the fans, and he's earned everything you're talking about. And I think, because I have to pull everything back into general perspective, if Jameis Winston tanks this year in New Orleans, which would probably end his career, if he can't be a good starter there, I don't think anyone else will grab him, then you're going to really be able to make a great case for Evans that, hey, he cemented his career with Josh McCown and Jameis Winston and Mike
Fitzpatrick
and Fitzpatrick and Mike Glennon. Those were the guys who threw to him before Brady arrives. I think that that scenario would make an even easier pitch for you for Canton, even if Evans retired in 2 years.
Right.
And tied to Jameis. Is that true?
I think you're making a good point, Steve, because he had the numbers before Brady came to town. So nobody can make the argument. All of a sudden, Mike Evans blossomed into an elite receiver when Tom Brady showed up in 2020. That argument doesn't hold any water, Lee.
You talking about Mount Rushmore. You had Lynch there. So you wouldn't have Selman. Selman.
Oh, yeah, I left Selman out.
Selman, right. Sapp, Brooks. Who would be your fourth one?
My fourth one would probably be Barber. Be Barber.
I don't know the answer, so I'm not saying you're right or wrong with this. Who's had more of an impact on the Bucs franchise? John Lynch, Rondé Barber, or Tom Brady? That's a tough one, right?
Brady's 2 years is a problem. It's a problem.
That's fair, but his impact is massive.
Yeah, no question about it. It's like Isbits with Joe Bucs fan.
You can't
overstate it.
It wouldn't exist.
Donovan, Steve, you're speechless over there, Steve.
You're driving me crazy, Ira. Look, Donovan Smith's up there basically today, Sage, saying, I should have been a Pro Bowler, and I'm not happy about it. Now, he wouldn't actually say it, but he laughed. He looked over at the PR guy, like, give me some guidance or something. I don't know what's going on. But he clearly felt snubbed, and I believe he used the word snub for the fans who still think Smith, and they're out there, still think Smith is lazy, not as motivated as he could be better, you know, too inconsistent. Do you think this gives him a little extra fire this season, or maybe he's had it in previous seasons already?
Smith is a guy, and there's a few of them, that I have changed my mind about over the years. Ndamukong Suh is another one. When he joined the Bucs, I didn't think he was that good a player. He was one-dimensional. He was no factor on the pass rush. Turns out the last 2 years, he's got 12 sacks. Say what you want about him on the pass rush. Never misses the game. I got Donovan Smith in the same boat. I thought he was average. 32 teams, 32 left tackles. I have him at number 15. And now I got him in the top 10. Now, was he snubbed in the Pro Bowl? I don't know, but I don't mind him saying it, Lee. If I'm Donovan Smith, I'm saying it. I'm the guy who asked him a question about his durability, which I don't think you can overstate that in terms of a left tackle. It's not like he's not hurt. Same thing Rondé Barber always used to tell me. Yeah. Ira, it wasn't like I wasn't hurt for those 15 years, but I played.
He missed what? Donovan Smith, 2 games?
He might have missed 2 games in his
career. And I know when his streak was broken, he was upset about that. He took a lot of pride in that.
And this is not a right guard. This is a left tackle. Makes a difference. Having said that, it was not his best effort against the Rams in that last game. He's played a lot better than that.
Oh, of course.
But he had a solid season. And I just think in the last 3-4 years, he's ascending. At his age, you wouldn't think that would happen. So, Lee, I got no problem with him bitching about a Pro Bowl snub.
I think Steve was underselling it. I think Smith was really peeved about that. Because I just got the impression he wanted to go off cussing. And he was like holding himself back. Didn't he say something to the media representative? Do they really want to know what I think? Along those lines?
I think he did.
He was peeved about Smith. And I have said this before. I'll say it again. What turned this franchise around, they finally got coaches. How much of a help did Joe Gilbert give Donovan Smith's career?
I give him quite a bit of credit. That doesn't take anything away from Smith.
No.
Who turned out to be very coachable. But Lee, the point you've made over the last couple of years, you can't overstate that. The coaching staff, because of what we had here in the past, lousy coaching staffs, probably Dirk Cutter's downfall ultimately.
Yes.
Poor coaching staff. That's on you, Cutter.
He was a good coach, but his assistants were, for the most part, terrible.
Donovan Smith's grown in my eyes, Steve. What about you?
You've grown in my eyes, Ira, but the diet will press on. Ira, look, we've got our great guest coming up with Todd Bowles, and we'll get his perspective on all this stuff. But you've watched Bowles talk this week and over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, of course, he doesn't say much. I think that's a big reason why you don't see a lot of national media here with the Bucks. The drama's kind of gone. Balls is close to the vest. Brady's not going to talk. You know, the whole thing, it's different this year a little bit with the Bucks. They sort of burned out a little bit on their sexiness, which I think will come back, but at least for now in June. But one thing Balls said this week, Ira, which I thought was sort of telling for him, he flat out said Akeem Hicks is going to play a lot. That was his quote. He'll play a lot, and they expect him to do what he did in Chicago. And that was in Chicago when he was healthy. He was playing 75% of the snaps. He's a starter, a leader, a dominant player. So if Bowles is going out now, not saying he's got to win a job, he's got to win snaps, he's got to learn the defense, he's not saying all the stuff he says about everybody else. He's saying he's going to play a lot. That, to me, was pretty darn telling, and so I wanted to get your take on that. Lee brought up previous podcasts that, you know, hey, maybe, just maybe, getting Hicks is a way of the organization saying, Logan Hall, not quite there yet. We're not sure yet based on the little bit we've seen. I don't know. It's interesting, though, that he would come out and say that. So what do you think of that?
You know, the one thing I wanted to ask Akeem Hicks yesterday, Lee, I didn't get the chance, was somebody asked about did he have a lot of negotiations with other teams in free agency? And I wanted to ask whether he had a ongoing talks with the Bucks since the start of free agency and the thing finally came to a culmination in the last week or two, or did it come out of the blue? The first thing I think about, Steve, when you mentioned Todd Bowles and Akeem Hicks and Bowles commenting on Hicks's playing time, we have to assume Todd Bowles was the driving force within the organization to get Akeem Hicks. Even if it was a brainstorm by Jason Light, it doesn't happen if Todd Bowles doesn't sign off on Akeem Hicks. It's not going to happen.
I'll agree with
that. It's not going to happen. So Bowles already has investiture in Akeem Hicks in that regard. And Lee, even more importantly, I've said it before, and you know, I've always talked up Ngakoue Kongsu, and I'm not sure Hicks is gonna be an improvement necessarily. But Lee, when the guy's healthy, he's a good football player. You can't deny that. So if he's healthy, Lee, he's going to play. He's going to play. And if he plays 65% of the snaps and Logan Hall has to take a little bit of a backseat in year one, I got no problem with that. Zero. And I don't think any Buck fan would either.
Well, I've said I don't know how many times in previous podcasts that just on face value, I was very uncomfortable with the Bucks leaving so much to two guys who have a grand total of six starts. That was, of course, Joe Tryon and Logan Hall. You know, Logan Hall hasn't taken a snap yet. So who knows? He could be the next Merlin Olsen. He could be the next Akeem Spence. I don't know. So I'm glad that they went and got a veteran, a proven veteran, that if he stays healthy, could be a force. I think it's going to take a lot of pressure off the kid, Logan Hall.
Lee, speaking of Joe Tryon, maybe I'm missing something here. Who's pushing Joe Tryon right now? Who's pushing him?
A lot of people
him?
In the organization.
No. What players? Steve.
You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
Is Tryon facing any serious competition in camp right now, Steve?
Yeah, I think so.
Because, off the right edge?
Because we're looking at it in different ways than the coaching staff might look at it. First, there was a lot of chatter, Ira, that Logan Hall can play off the edge. I've heard it. He's been compared to Calais Campbell, who played off the edge, and that he has that unique length and athleticism. We don't know. So it could be Hall if he learns the outside. Could be. Anthony Nelson had more sacks than Tryon last year. He may be pushing him in camp. Within camp doesn't mean that the organization is going to start Anthony Nelson, but he's at least there. So I don't know. But if they like Tryon and they're going to go with him, look, we saw the Bucks the last 2 years put untested young cornerbacks out there, 2019, 2020, and they won a Super Bowl. So maybe they're just decided to just give it to Tryon and let him loose. I don't know.
Here's what I was thinking, Ira. Sort of along the lines you were thinking. Last training camp, what was the narrative? You heard coach after coach after coach, player after player after player. What was the common denominator, their subject of choice to talk about after practices?
I mean, besides repeating a Super Bowl champion.
Exactly. Besides. Their narrative was Joe Tryon's going to tear up the league. I remember even Arians said one practice, Joe Tryon, this is a direct quote, kicked Tristan's ass. So what have we heard a lot the past week or so in underwear football? Logan Hall's going to be a stud. Logan Hall's going to tear people up. Logan, and Steve and I write about this often. It's the norm that when Bucks coaches, Bucks officials, Bucks players get behind the microphone of a podium, they've been given talking points, if not rehearsed. And it's starting to smell like last year with Joe Tryon. One of the talking points is, hey, Logan Hall's going to kick people's ass.
Does Hall have the athleticism to come off the edge, Steve? I don't believe that's why he was drafted necessarily.
I don't think it's why he was drafted, but it's been mentioned. And, I don't know. I mean,
I thought he was more of a three technique.
Well, he is, but even, and I ran this story back in December when I was trying to figure out who the Bucks might go after. Logan Hall, even at that time, by draft analysts, they weren't really sure if he was a tackle or an end. They thought he would slip because he's kind of a tweener. So that's not anything new.
Okay. So there's your answer, Ira. We don't know who the heck is pushing Joe Tryon. And
we know who to ask about Joe Tryon, and we're going to do so.
Well, Joe Tryon.
Yeah, Joe Tryon. The bigger note there, though, Ira, is it's not over yet, right? So Akeem Hicks is only counting against the cap, Ira, $2.4 million. They're paying him $1 million bonus, a low salary, and then their signing bonus that they're kicking the can down the road four more years beyond this year. So they spent next to nothing to get another beast. They spent next to nothing to get Logan Ryan. They spent nothing to get Keanu Neal. And there's plenty of money to go sign an edge rusher.
And,
so
and Lee,
still
it
time.
Proves again. It proves again what you and I said a month ago. Never believe all this nonsense about teams being in salary cap hell. It's a non-story.
Hello, Les Snead.
There's too many ways to circumvent it. And the Bucks happen to be particularly clever about it.
And it also lets you know that with all the veterans that may leave next year, the Bucks should be in fantastic salary cap position if they have to go get a big...
And Brady could be gone.
If they have to go get a huge money quarterback with Brady gone and Gronk's gone and whoever else is gone. Ira, Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer, locally owned. Now, I don't want you to tell us that they're going to dominate beer across the land. I don't like that. I care about the beer and that food and the sage being at Big Storm Brewery tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, coming soon to Ybor, Cape Coral, Amway Center in Orlando. Ira, what do you love on that Big Storm menu, and what do you like to pair it with on tap?
Steve, between me and DeKemper, we blitzkrieged that menu, and they changed it around, but we've had everything. We've sampled the pickles, we've sampled the ribs, the wings, everything that's out there. We've tried it. Great salads. And, of course, you wash it down with the great beer. I like the Kolsch, Bay Beer. I've tried them all. They're all good. And they know what they're doing in Big Storm. And they're ambitious. And I just love everything about them.
Big Storm Beer. What's amazing, Ira, is that you mentioned pickles, yet you've probably had 975 of their French fries and 10 of their pickles, but you go with the pickles.
I eat most of the fries off somebody else's order. I don't order them myself, but I know when Lee's over there. What do you call me, Lee? A little chipmunk or something?
No, a human seagull.
Wash it all down with a Bromosa Tangerine IPA, their top seller, Big Storm Beer. I just bought some last night in Earth Fair, and it's in so many stores. Find Big Storm Beer, bigstormbrewery.com. I got to ask you, Aris, since it's all over the news, and since we talked about it for so long.
You're not going to bring up the Twitter picture with the mustache, right?
No.
You're not going to do that.
Let me address that, though. The Twitter picture with
Rock's laughing over here.
The Twitter picture with Ira with the gray hair and the brown mustache, that is a thorn for you, Ira. I'll say it's a thorn in your side. Now, let me set the table. That was back in 2014.
I lost my way for a couple of weeks.
Ira lost his way, and we took a picture of you doing a live television segment with that mustache. I took a nice, tight close-up of you from a good distance, and we used it on the website when you weren't working for us. And maybe 5 hours later, you're like, hey, you don't run that picture again. I don't like it. I have my mustache. And you were giving me some grief. I remember saying to you specifically, Ira, you went on television with it. How bad could it be? We just took a picture, and you're like, don't do that.
Guys, I don't even remember life before Joe Bucks fan. I don't even remember it because I wasn't the sage. Lee, I wasn't the sage at the Tribune.
Are you suggesting
I might have been the stooge, but I wasn't the sage.
No. Are you suggesting that you've hit your peak and you're forgetting things?
Well,
you're putting your car keys in the refrigerator.
Lee, put it out there that picture was from 2014.
So the picture was from 2014. And we were talking about it today, and Lee, very kindly put it out on Twitter for all the folks to see.
I was a different guy back then.
Ira accosted me a couple times when we ran that picture, once in New Orleans and once at Raymond James. And both times, Ira walked up to me and goes, "That picture!
Take it down, DeKemper!
That picture! Both times! That picture!" But and the second thing, what cracks me up, well, you're so bent about that picture. Who was it that grew the mustache? Who was it that looked in the mirror every morning? Who was it that told himself, "You know, that looks good on me, and we're catching hell for the picture?"
Roy Cummings told me to try it. You know, what do I know? I got to listen to my...
All right, your wife put the kibosh on it, right? That's what it was, seriously?
She wanted it out after a day.
All right, Sage, back to the question I was going to ask you, since it's been everywhere and not your mustache. Deshaun Watson. Now, there's a ton of people listening to this podcast who wanted the Bucs to go all in for Deshaun Watson.
Lee's raising
his hand. That was the smart move. And I'm just going to say, I sat here saying, why would anybody not think there'd be a 23rd accuser coming out? Because that was just logic. If there's 22, here comes 23. Now we've got 24. A New York Times expose. And what should Bucs fans learn from this, if there is anything to learn?
This is not your backup tight end. This is the face of you bring him in, he's going to be the face of your franchise. That's what Cleveland had to deal with. They made the decision to bring him in. I don't think it's what we need at one Buck place. Certainly not after Tom Brady. The parts, the premises, you're going to go from Tom Brady to a Deshaun Watson, Lee. Does that mean people wouldn't show up at the games if the Bucs go 12-5? No, I'm not saying that, Lee. But as a representative, I think the Glazers would have a little bit of a problem after going through the Jameis Winston debacle. This Watson story's getting worse, Lee. It's just getting worse.
It is. Here's what's really freaking me out. First off, the number is almost too many to believe. 66? I mean, this guy's got a serious problem. Now it's looking like the Texans tried to hush this up. Now, I ask you, Ira, I'm deviating from the Bucs here. I ask you, and both parties are scumbags. I'm sorry. Which is worse scumbag? Daniel Snyder, who, to the best of my knowledge, really didn't commit any crime. Now, I'm not excusing him. Or the Texans, who it looks like they may have been covering up.
Very simple, Steve. Everything's bigger in Texas, including the cover-up.
Well, look, Antonio Brown had, what, some unpaid chef bill, and somebody tried to shake down the Bucs. So you're telling me 22 women were out there, felt they were abused by Deshaun Watson, and none of them picked up the phone and said, "Hey, Texans, I want 50 grand to keep this quiet. You know, otherwise, I'm going to do this and this and go to Action 8 News here in Houston." It doesn't make sense that they didn't know
about it. Lee, I'm not saying I want a Boy Scout under center. But especially if that Boy Scout can't throw a 40-yard sideline pass. But we can do better than the Deshaun Watsons of the world.
Speaking of you can do better than that, when I read, allegedly, Deshaun Watson offered each complainant $100,000 of hush money. Dude, no wonder they're suing you. $100,000 to shut up?
All right, Steve, we look forward to our guest.
All right, Ira, here he is, the head coach, Mr. Todd Bowles. Todd, thanks for joining us. Thanks for chatting with us before the podcast. And do you feel young when you're next to Ira? I do. We all do. Coach Arians used to. Do you feel young sitting here?
I feel older, actually, because Ira had been talking about his weight loss so much, and he makes me want to go ahead and work out more.
If you got any tips for the old guy, I mean, he could use it. You know, Jenny Craig.
Hey, I'm down 7 pounds. Come on now.
All right, Coach. that got me. That was a good one. You know, just going to your background, Coach, you know, for fans who really don't know your playing background, a lot of younger fans listening to Ira, you were such a successful undrafted free agent. How does that help you today relate to players and motivate and just sort of be a better coach?
Well, it helps because you've been through it. You know, going into my senior year, I was supposed to be All-American and everything else, and I dislocated 6 out of 7 bones in my left wrist. And so when I came out, I went to the combine. At that time, I was in New Orleans, and I couldn't even do a push-up, nevertheless, 225 on the bench press. And everybody said no one wanted a one-arm safety. I was never supposed to play again, they told me. But I was hard-headed. Even Bruce told me I shouldn't play again, and I couldn't play again. So after the draft came and went, I signed with Washington as an undrafted free agent. And the Philadelphia Inquirer did at that time, camp was 5 or 6 weeks. They did a story on me every day from draft pick to free agent all the way up until the time I was supposed to get cut.
Because of the Temple?
Yes, because of the Temple thing. So they came every day. I did an interview every day with the Philadelphia Inquirer. They printed a story every day, you know, figuring I'd get cut because I was a free agent. So I taped my wrist up. I went into camp, and at that time it had to be at least 120 players in camp because there was about 6 or 7 free safeties. I don't know. I was 5 or something on the depth chart, and you had to make your plays via scout team or you get 1 or 2 shots, and that was about it. And as camp went on, you know, I just went to work every day. I said, I'm not going to quit, and I'm going to learn everything and do everything I have to do to try to make this team. And as camp went on, I ended up making the team, and I played nickel, actually, my first year. And the second year, I ended up starting the year we won the Super Bowl, and kind of the rest was history from there. And I think it helped me coaching-wise because at that time on our team, the free safety made every single call. He made the huddle call. He had to walk over to the coach during the timeout. He made the adjustments. If the D lineman didn't stunt, it was the free safety's fault. If the backers didn't drop a certain way, it was the free safety's fault. So I kind of learned everybody's job, and it was kind of coaching while I was playing, so to speak. By my second, third year, I kind of had everybody down to a science, and, you know, it helped me a great deal. But Emmett Thomas, who was my defensive back coach, told me, when I finished playing, they wanted me to coach there.
Hall of Famer.
He said, if you coached right now, as soon as you were done playing, you would not be a good coach because you would teach them exactly what you know, and you wouldn't be able to see it from a coaching perspective, and you'd be pissed off at guys. He said, get out of the game at least 2 years, and then if you want to do it, you come back and do it. And I left. I got out for 2 years. I had a minority-owned construction company in Jersey, in White House, New Jersey, and I had a gym in Rockville, Maryland, called Professional Fitness. And, you know, I did that for 2 years. I got away from ball, wanted no part of it. And Reggie McKenzie called me one day. He was in Green Bay. He was one of the scouts in Green Bay. Asked me did I want to try interview to be a scout. And I said, there's no way I'm going to Green Bay. He said, no, you can be the East Coast scout. You can have everything on the East Coast. You just interview. You come up 2 weeks for training camp, and then you're on the East Coast the whole time from Vermont to Virginia, the end of Virginia. And I said, okay. So I took that job at the time. So I scouted. I went into scouting because I didn't know what I wanted to do, coaching or scouting. I said, let me start from the ground up. And Ron Wolf was the GM. They had Ted Thompson, and Dorsey was a scout. John Schneider was a scout. Scott McLuhan was a scout. Reggie McKenzie was a scout. Sammy Seal. Had a lot of guys that are now GMs. I'm the only dumb one that went into coaching. So. But it helped me, and I scouted on the road on the East Coast at the time. Doug Williams was scouting with Jacksonville, and he was the East Coast scout. When Doug got to Washington in 86, he came from the USFL. I came from college. So we got there at the same time. I was just fresh out of college. He was fresh off of being in Tampa and being in the USFL. He came in 86. He lived about 2 miles down the street from me. We became best friends, and he was in Jacksonville, and we saw each other on the road every time. And he said, I'm going to get a head job at Morehouse. Would you like to come coach with me? I said, as what? He said, a defensive coordinator. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, Doug, I hadn't even coached before. Why do you want me to be a coordinator? I said, you got 1,000 guys to choose from. Sure. You're Doug Williams. He said, no, I watched you every day in practice, and you're the guy I want. So I turned him down. We went on the next trip. I saw Doug. He asked me again. He asked me about 5 times, and I finally accepted at Morehouse, and that's kind of how my career got started.
Todd, talk about, you know, it's a second chance for you. It doesn't happen very often with minorities. It doesn't. You know, Lovie Smith's maybe an exception. So, Todd, was there a point a year ago where you said, you know, thought to yourself, you told your wife, it ain't going to happen. I'm not going to get another shot at this. The Jets thing is always going to be on my resume, and then that's going to be my future. Do you feel blessed, or do you kind of feel like, hey, I've earned this shot? You know, I've worked for it.
I think I've worked for everything that I've ever had to do in my life. The thing with the Jets, it was a very good experience, because I would not have known now what I knew then, going into it the second time around. And, you know, as a head coach, I never coached to be a head coach. I coached to be the best coach, whether it was defensive coordinator, defensive back, linebackers, anything. I coached to be the best coach. And if you're good enough at your craft, whether you like it or not, minority or anything else, there's only 32 of them. Whether it's a coordinator or a head job, there's only 32 of them, and there's a billion colleges and a billion other avenues to get into football. So you don't worry about it. You coach to be the best damn coach you can be. And when people see how you are, it's not even just coaching. It's how you are as a person, how you treat people in the building, how you come to work, how you leave work, and how you teach. And if you're the best at that, you may get overlooked, and that's okay. But you can live with yourself. But you don't sacrifice anything to become a head coach or become a somebody to be seen. I don't do that to be seen. I do it because I love the game. I like to think I'm good at it from time to time, but you always work at it. And the game evolves. Everybody and every part of the game evolves, whether it's eye formation, run and shoot, zone read, RPO, spread. Every 3 to 5 years, it evolves. So as defensive coordinators, and everyone says it's an offensive game, you have to start to tweak your system every 2.5 years, because when they catch up to you, you're done. So we try to do a good job as coaches, tweaking our system ahead of time while not losing the integrity we have with what we built, and go from there. And I always try to be a forward thinker that way. So we always learn new things and see new things and try new things to make sure that we're ahead of them. But for me saying I was trying to be a head coach, that's far from it. I think when you try, that's when it doesn't happen. When you just go about your business and do everything, you know, the good Lord looks upon you that way, and you kind of take it and run.
Coaching is coaching, Todd. I understand that, your approach and your principles, but you know this better than anybody. You get that title of head coach, it's different, and you know that, and you're embracing that now. Your responsibilities are different. You're everywhere. Talk about the difference when you get the head coach title.
It is different because you have to wear a lot of hats, you know, and you're in the media every day, and you better have thick skin. You know, I think going into New York, you kind of hear those things, but you don't know them until you actually go through them. You either embrace them or you fear them. I embrace them. At this point in my life, I embrace everything that I get, good, bad, and ugly, right or wrong. It comes with the territory. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you, but you have to do it your way and the way who you are. I have to do it the way I am. I will never be Bruce. I will never be Gruden. I will never be Dungy. I can only be me and try to coach the team the way I know how to coach the team. I know football. I know people. I know X's and O's. I know personnel. But to force yourself to do something like this and to force yourself upon everybody is not how it's going to work. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat. There's a lot of ways to win ball games. I just have to do it my way.
Your biography, that's some fascinating stuff. I'll get to one of them in a moment. I wanted to flush out a little bit. But Michael Lombardi, on his podcast, he's a really big fan of yours. Really big fan. I don't know how big of a fan, if he was a fan at all, of Bruce. He'd always like, Bruce, he's having a bourbon. But with you, he's very respectful. And he always said, hey, you know, they're playing the Bucks, you're playing Bulls. Look out. He's a good man, smart man. But he said a lot of times when a coach gets his second opportunity as a head coach, he's learned a lot from the first time, and he'll be even better coach. So he's really bullish on you with the Bucks. What are a couple things you learned with the Jets, that whether it be I will never do that again or I need to do X, Y, and Z?
I think one of the things I did, I tried to be good at everything. You know, I want to learn the whole offense. And learning the entire offense took me away from the defense, which is what I was brought there to do in the first place. I knew it like the back of my hand, but between learning the offense and taking media time and things happening, you don't get the film work that you really think you want to get time-wise to be part of the defense. And I think I hurt myself that way, and I hurt the organization and the team by not doing that.
And you're putting out fires, right, Todd?
You're putting out fires every day. You know that for a fact. You're putting out. As soon as I took the job, Coach Parcells told me that, you know, there are five things that's going to happen daily that you can never prepare for. Just treat them differently and treat them separately and go one thing at a time and you'll be fine. If you lump them all together, then you're going to have a problem. And he was right. And he was right. You're putting out fires every day. So I think this time around, especially being here with all the coaching staff, you got to trust everybody to do their job. They're hired for a reason. Then if they don't do it, then there's a problem. You manage the coaches, and by manage, I don't mean control. I mean they understand what kind of message you want to send. They understand what kind of program you want to run, and you let them do their job, because it's too hard for you to try to manage 90 guys right now by yourself. And the message has to come from more than just the head coach. It has to come from the assistant coaches. It has to come from the people in the building. So you got to make everybody feel like they enjoy coming to work. You know, you got to treat everybody, whether it's the maintenance people, the cafeteria workers, everybody has to be treated the same, because they're all under you now. So you have that responsibility.
The element about Germany, you mentioned it, you played over there, obviously an exhibition game. What did you experience over there, or the travels or the customs, whatever, that you know that's going to be important for your team this year?
It's important for us. You know, I went over to London when I was with the Jets, and, you know, Jeff Fisher had helped me out with the travel at that time. I had never taken that trip. And I was looking at the trends of it. Everybody that left in the beginning of the week on Monday, that's when most of the trouble occurred. Mm-hmm. Also, that's when most of the burnout occurred, and they got their butts kicked on Saturday or Sunday. So, and it's a hassle with the sockets and the equipment and the plugs, because they're all different. No, they really are different.
Setting up that. The
meeting rooms and everything else. So if you play Sunday and you travel all night after Sunday's game and you get there Monday morning, and they go to sleep, and coaches can't game plan, before you know it, you're Wednesday, you're at practice, and nothing's done, and everybody's tired. So rather than do that, you know, and Coach Fisher, you leave on Thursday night after you got all the preparation done. You get there Friday morning, you have a jog through. They sleep in and do what they got to do Saturday. You know, if they want to go to dinner or sightsee, play the game Sunday and come back. You know, it's a place. If it was a vacation spot, most of the guys would have been there already. We're going there for business. They make enough money where they can go back if they love the place, but we're there for business. And you try to manage. We had sleep people come in and tell us they had these red glasses for us to wear and everything else, trying to get all these things done before you leave. So, but it's really a mental thing and a toughness thing. You know, the sleep deprivation here and there, you got to catch up how you can, but you got to be ready to play on Sunday, so there's no excuses. But if we can get the prep work done here, we can go over there and we can bypass most of the things that will give us problems. So that's what we're going to do.
Coach, Carlton Davis said yesterday, that he doesn't know how to talk to you anymore. He looks at you differently now. He feels like, I don't want to say the wrong thing, be too casual. Coach is now the big guy, and I haven't figured it out yet. I assume that that's probably the same way for a lot of guys. Like, okay, he's the head coach now. We can't say what we used to say. And how do you deal with that, and what's that reality?
I think that's a Carlton problem. Everyone else says what they want to say, and I say what I normally say to him or anybody else. Carlton tries to be respectful, and he is. We have a great relationship. I don't talk to him any differently. I don't expect him to talk to me any differently. The hat has changed, but my personality and what I do has not. You know, the offensive guys are the ones that have to get used to me talking a lot of mess, and I can be very blunt at times and try to explain things, but I understand where I am. You don't get on them until you teach them everything and how you want it and how it's supposed to be. And once they understand that, yeah, we're going to have a big problem. But the guys have been working hard. And for the defensive guys, it's no different. For a lot of the offensive guys, it's no different, because we talk. But, you know, it's just when you're somewhere for 3 years and you have the same people, coaches and players, and then the leadership changes, there's an adjustment period, because the voice sounds differently, the face looks differently, and the sudden tweaks, you'll start to try to be differently, whatever helps us win the ball game. But the messages are the same. It's just how you say them.
And pulling it back to football, a lot of fans, they want to hear, well, what does Coach think of this guy, that guy? And I'm not going to ask you that, because I know you're not going to say anything. So we'll just keep that straight. But Logan Ryan comes in, and the guys on your team and Bruce Arians, they've all called you a defensive genius, mad scientist, all kinds of adjectives. So you bring in Logan Ryan, and now finally there's competition at corner, and he becomes a piece that you can use a lot of different ways, and nobody knows how you're going to use him. How does that feel to have a guy like that in there? Now you have four cornerbacks who are at a certain level, and everybody's sort of looking around wondering how they're going to be used.
I'll tell you what, he gained my respect. As soon as he got here, he wanted to watch film, and he had been watching film on us, and he's been here every day, phase one, phase two, OTAs, and mini camp, and he's just he picked it up seamlessly. Obviously, he's been in some very good defenses before, and he knows how to disguise and talk to guys. Not only does he pick it up, he's a good leader and mentor for the other guys. I mean, he'll keep the safeties after practice some. They'll walk through some things. He gets it. You know, he gets it. It's not just his mental. He can play. He actually can play nickel and safety, and if we need him at corner, we can play him at corner. So he's a good chess piece, not just to move around, but from a mental aspect. He's a coach on the field. He's more vocal than we're used to having back there, which is a great thing. I think Keanu Neal is as well. So we just look forward to him getting the system down and understanding the tweaks. And, you know, he's a very smart football player. It's the reason he lasted 10 years in this league, because he's very smart. He's very tough. He takes care of his body. And he's a good model for other players, especially DBs, to follow when he comes in the building, because he understands how to watch film. And I think that's the biggest thing young guys don't know how to do.
Todd, I told you that when you got the announcement of the job, Vrabel told me during the NFL meetings, because I asked him a question about Ryan. He goes, he wore me out. He's in my office every day asking, why are we doing it like that? But he respected him because the guy was so knowledgeable. So he wasn't some slappy. You know, questioning what the hell they're doing, but he said that about Ryan. He wore me out. So get ready, Mr.
I'm fine Bowles. With it. I like questions. I like guys that are in tune with it and understand the game plan, the how, what, whys, and wheres. And we take advice from anybody as coaches. You know, if somebody has something that's great, we'll use it. If not, we'll tell you why we won't use it, and we go from there.
Todd, let's talk about 45. Sort of the tone setter, Devin White on defense. And here's what I mean, Todd. He was so dynamic during the championship run. He was unbelievable during those playoff games, all of them. That pick against the Saints when he said, I'm going to turn this game around, and then he did. And Todd, obviously, he didn't have a bad year in 2021, but the splash plays, fans say, well, where's the dynamism from White taking that next step up? What kind of year did Devin White have, and how did you use him last year? How are you going to use him this year?
I think he had a good year. I don't think he had the Super Bowl year, but he still had a very good year. I think we had a lot of injuries that ravaged that we asked him to be more of a vocal leader as far as pointing and lining people up more than we did making plays to hide up some of the weaknesses that we had. He still had a very good year. In the second year, you become better mentally. I think there was a cross between his mental and his physical play, and then he started hearing the noise trying to make a play. That's when he would make a mistake. I think he's aged and matured a year. He's come back with a great mental approach to the ball game. He's gotten a lot better at almost everything that was almost a minus for him last year. But he is our tone setter. He's one of those guys that you have to let be a football player. I'm not saying he's Ray Lewis or Mike Singletary, but he's one of those guys that's very confident in his ability, and he's very good at what he does, and you have to let him play. And I think we're getting back to that more, letting him play, but understanding where he has to be at certain times. So I think his best years are ahead of him. I think it's impossible to ask an inside backer to have 9 sacks every year.
I agree.
That's not realistic. He got through and had some success at that, and we had a lot of guys up front that helped out with that. But if he can get 4 or 5 sacks and get about 3 or 4 interceptions, that's a great year to me as well, as doing things, helping us win, making some 3rd and short stops and leading the defense and being where he needs to be mentally. And we've tweaked some things for him that fit his game a lot better. You know, we have to be smarter as coaches, getting them in better positions too, but he, like you said, he's the guy that we turn to, and he's a natural born leader. It's not for show. I mean, he does it in practice every day. So on Sunday, it's just a microcosm of what we see every day during the week.
All right. That was part one with Coach Todd Bowles on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Great stuff from Coach. So glad that all of our listeners get to know him the way we've gotten to know Coach Bowles. And I want to make it clear, he was not with us at Hooters. That may have gotten lost in the translation here in the podcast. We met with Coach at One Buck Place, and we look forward to having you get to know him the way we've gotten to know Coach Bowles. Absolutely great stuff. Hope you appreciated it. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name on there. Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E. 62 plus years in Tampa. BillCurryFord.com. Big Storm Beers, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Even Todd Bowles, which you'll hear later, had something to say about Big Storm Beer, which was just fantastic. And Florida's Elite Restoration, do not forget, that is your first phone call. If you have a disaster in your home or at your business, they're going to give you a free assessment. But if you use their services, you'll get $500 off or $500 you can use towards your deductible. If they actually do work for you, all you have to do is mention Joe Bucks Fan, Ira Kaufman podcast before you actually go ahead with them doing work for you. But the assessment is free and they are fantastic. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Bookmark it so you know who to call and who to trust in your time of need. Now we're going back to Hooters. Rock Riley joins us for a little bit to wrap up the podcast. Sage has got more to say, of course. Let's head back out there.
Excuse me. Ira, one thing that was sort of a big deal from Ryan Jensen, and then it was quickly deflated, and there's a lesson to be learned here about what's true, what's not true, and all the BS that we deal with covering a team on a day-to-day basis and trying to invent things that are interesting. And I use the word invent loosely, but, you know, sometimes things just aren't that interesting.
But they sound provocative, Steve.
Yeah, Ryan Jensen came out the other day saying, oh, the pace of practice, oh, it's on fire, it's really picked up, and Brady stepped in. He didn't miss a beat. He really got that pace going. He said it was unreal. Well, Todd Bowles today said, no, nothing different about the pace. Mike Evans said, no, it's the same. Donovan Smith was asked about pace and change in practice. He said, well, we're not on a different field. We only have one field now.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we finished practice early. It shows we're on a good pace, but, you know, no big deal. So one guy, the guy snapping the ball, thinks it's cooking. And everybody else says there's nothing different at all. And meanwhile, Bruce Arians is standing there with his straw hat watching Kyle Trask. Is anything different?
I don't think it's different because the same guy's under center, Rock, for the most part. You know, you got Kyle Trask taking a few snaps and Ryan Griffin and Gabbert. But Brady's the guy that sets the tempo for practice, for Buck practice. And it's the same Tom Brady, Rock, and Rock Riley sitting here next to us. Rock, you were out of training camp today. You see a different tempo. I thought previous Buck training camps with Brady had the same tempo. Hold on, Steve.
Hey, wait. Proper introduction for Rock Riley. What the hell is this? Rock Riley's here with us. Host of the Rock Stops Here podcast, available on all the platforms.
Veteran of the Tampa sports scene.
You got to follow Rock Riley at Real Rock Riley on Twitter so you know when the next great podcast interview is coming. And, of course, Rock is out at One Buck a hell of a lot and watching practice more than you are, Ira, since I know.
And then he goes to the Lightning games. Unbelievable.
Hey, he's everywhere. But now continue, Ira.
Rock, who are you going to believe? You going to believe Jensen, or are you going to believe the guys we heard today?
Well, there's a reason why at 45 years old that Brady is still at the top. Now, I will tell you this.
He's not 45 yet, Rock.
He's coming close.
Give him another couple of months.
Another 6 weeks.
There you go, 6 weeks. Now, I was thinking when Father Time is undefeated, it is going to happen. Is this the year? This is the first time that he has ever actually retired, even though it was 40 days. He was practicing a lot of golf for the match where Rodgers, you know, carried him.
He's got his business ventures.
He's got all the businesses. He's got all that. So I thought, man, I'm wondering. So it's way too early to tell. You know what I mean? But I did. Steve is right. The biggest change, I'm like, all right, well, what's the biggest difference? What's the biggest difference? Yeah, JPP isn't there. You're going to have a couple of new guys. Bottom line, it's the same team. It's going to be the same offensive system, same defensive system. I thought that was hysterical when Donovan Smith says, we only use one field. And the players like that because they, especially the big guys, they can take a breather. So all in all, with Brady, who still looks good, once we get to training camp, that's going to be the key. But the fact that the GOAT is back, Mike Evans, I agree with you on everything that you said about Mike Evans. I think a big key, though, is the line with the new guard, because we all know the Bucks coaching staff wanted to make sure that they were going to have somebody that they could count on next to Donovan Smith.
Now, they got two new guards, right?
And they got right. So that's going to be a factor. So, I mean, again, it's underwear football. Brady is out there. But sooner or later, and the other thing is Akeem, okay? Now, they get Akeem Hicks. He's a beast. They had salary cap problems. Okay, he's coming in low. He also has been injury prone.
Yes,
now,
he
I'm
has.
Hoping that, and the Donovan Kinsu was very, very durable. You got to put that out there. And teams do not let really good, durable players go. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Hopefully, he'll be revitalized because he is good when he can play. So all in all, I really don't think that much has changed since the Rams lost.
Steve, speaking of Sue, Steve, is he going to sign with somebody or is he going to quietly retire?
I don't know how much money he wants, Ira. It's his business. Maybe he wants to
Is there a lack of interest in the Ndamukong Suh, Steve?
There's no way to know. No way to know. He's not going to play cheap. And if he can get out of training camp and be a late signing for somewhere, you know, wait out an injury, you know, I don't know. Or maybe he just hangs it up.
Hey, Steve, there's a Buccaneer that, Lee, we haven't talked about him very much, and he was mentioned today by Carlton Davis. And, Lee, I think this guy's going to be a key cog because he's a chess piece in terms of versatility. So he's like a queen. He can move all over the board. and Bowles, and he's a defensive back, and that's Bowles' specialty. That's the position Bowles played, knows everything about the position. And I'm talking about Logan Ryan. And Lee, I don't know where he's going to line up, but he's going to play a lot of football, and I think he can really help this team.
Yeah, Iron, you got to be careful about that kind of analogy in the month of June. You know, it might get you in trouble.
Well, just say a chess piece. But Lee, you don't see Logan Ryan being a contributor?
Oh, he may be starting. He's obviously a very smart guy. Obviously, doesn't he have a ring with the Patriots?
He's actually got two rings, and, you know, of course, we all just heard Todd Bowles rave about him.
Yeah, so.
Vrabel told me, Steve, that he was a very accomplished blitzer when he was in Tennessee for Vrabel.
Well, it's fantastic that these guys have competition, and the fact that he's so versatile, nobody really knows where the coaches might want to play him, so it scares everybody, right? It's not like he's the backup shortstop. He's the guy who can play a sixth position.
Now, Steve, we got to be fair. In the past, we have cringed when we've heard Light and Buck coaches say, this guy can play everywhere. Who was that cornerback that ended up playing a safety and he stunk at both? Then it was a Deion Buchanan. He plays linebacker.
Buchanan,
I'm thinking of another guy. It was a guy.
Ryan Smith.
No, it was another guy. It wasn't Ryan Smith.
How many years back?
Not Mark Barron.
No, it was another guy. That's how many defensive backs they drafted.
The guy who replaced Derek Brooks years ago?
No. This guy,
with the glass forearms?
He was either a corner or a safety, and he couldn't play either.
Well, you're describing Ryan Smith.
Ryan Smith was good on special teams. This guy couldn't even play special teams.
Well, the problem
Steve,
with
you got to look him up over there.
Well, the problem with Ryan Smith was Mike Smith screwed him up from the get-go. First, he was a cornerback, then he was a safety, and he was a cornerback. The guy's a rookie. He didn't know where the hell he's playing.
Lee, the difference is with those guys, you didn't know where to play him because they weren't very good at anywhere. I don't think that's the case with Logan Ryan. I demand you find out the name of that guy, Steve.
All right, thanks.
I'm not hallucinating.
I'll make it a homework assignment. Sage, right. Look, before we get out of here, and of course we thank Todd Bowles. We thank Bill Curry Ford. Ira, got to ask you because fans are spending their money now. They're going on vacation to where they can place bets. Lee wrote about how the Bucs are still 11.5 is the over-under total. And we know Brady doesn't drop 10-win seasons very often. Are the Bucs better than they were the last time we talked about this about a month ago? Now they've got Akeem Hicks. You're hearing what and seeing what you're feeling in training camp. Brady seems 100% as far as being back and what they're talking about him. Has anything changed in your mind as far as wagering?
I found the guy. You ready, gentlemen? MJ Stewart.
Oh,
he's a corner. He's a safety. He can do that.
That's it. Yeah.
Anyway, speaking about the win-loss total, Lee, I think, as usual, your Vegas boys, who you're very close to, you know everybody at the sports book.
You got the cell phone number for one of the heaviest hitters out there.
I do.
Yeah.
Lee, I think they're right on. 11 wins, 12 wins for the Bucs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody, I can just hear somebody say, well, wait a minute. They won 13 last year, and they had a very good offseason. And they've added a lot of pieces. Well, you've lost some pieces too, Lee.
You lost Ali Marpet. I don't know if they've had that good of an offseason.
And you lost Jordan Whitehead. You lost some good players over here. JPP's gone.
Yeah.
Sue's gone. Right now, I got them at 11-6 with a tough schedule. And I think that should be good enough to win the division.
For our friends who like to wager that listen to your podcast, Ira, Tom Brady, it's been since 2009, since a Tom Brady quarterback team did not hit the over. Since 2009. Whoa.
Say that again.
That's older than Ira's mustache.
Say that again, Lee.
A Tom Brady quarterback team has not hit the under since 2009.
That is incredible, considering that the mark is going to be set high
because
every
Brady,
year with
yeah.
Brady.
Yeah.
It's going to be 11 or 12, and that's in a 16-game season. He hasn't hit the under since 2009?
Yes.
Wow.
Rock, hold up your hands. What's your number? You got a number on it, Rock?
Yeah, I got 11.
You got 11.
And what the concern for me is the schedule is very, very strong. They are also going to Germany. And you guys know that I did a show with Martin Gramatica for a couple of years. He told me the year that they went to Tokyo, it took them 4 or 5 weeks to honestly recover. That does something to your body.
Was that the defending Super Bowl champs that went to Tokyo?
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
I think it was.
It really. So, I mean, with the schedule, going to Germany, I'm not looking at like 12, 13, 14. I think 11 is a good number for me.
Does that mean, Rock, when De Kemper comes home from Munich, it's going to take him a month to get into the swing of things, De Kemper? Or are you a quick...
It depends on what he's doing over there, how he's feeling. We don't know.
You know, believe it or not, I'm actually going over there for work. I mean, I wasn't for the football game. I wouldn't be going over there.
But you're also a history buff.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Was it Dachau's right near there? As a human being, I have to see that place. Not that I want to. Yeah, I'm not going to do much partying over there. Of course, I'm going to go to a beer garden, but I'm there to work. I'm not there to get drunk and take me 3 weeks to recover. Now, here's something else about history. Brady history. Brady's undefeated in games on foreign soil. If the Bucs win this year, he'll become the first quarterback to win 4 games on foreign soil. All 3 of the previous times that Brady's played in London or Mexico, no Super Bowls. Victories. I think he got to the Super Bowl 1 year and the Giants knocked him
Steve,
off.
Steve, does Jacksonville count as foreign soil, Stevie?
I'm not sure. I was just remember.
San Francisco does.
When you mentioned the Bucks in Tokyo, it reminded me of that kimono story you told me about. That's a whole other thing.
Hey, Rock, what the hell happened with the Bucks players and the cheerleaders that saw all these people in trouble and fired in London?
Oh, that story well reported on Bay News 9. It's history over here. Steve, are you okay with the 11? 11 and 6, or you think they're better than that?
No, I think they're much better than that. But that's now. It's June, so that's now. I would certainly bet the over. I don't think they're worse than last year. I really don't. But
Gronk doesn't come back,
I got
him at less than 10.
That's why I said it's June. I would never bet a total now until I know who's there. So that's that. All right, Ira, look, it's been fun. We'll be back at it again this week, and you keep doing what you're doing.
We'll have some Tom Brady stuff to chew on also.
All right, Sage, give us your out-of-here address.
My out-of-here address is we're going out with a bang this week as the Bucks close down for 7 weeks. We are not closing down for 7 weeks. We're going to be traveling. But you know what? Joe Bucks fan keeps churning, Rock. 5 stories a day, 6 stories a day, every freaking day, day and night.
Yeah!
All right, we're cutting Ira off there. He did something weird with his microphone, spilled something, and it was a mess. You didn't miss anything on his final 30 seconds there. So thanks again for listening. Apple Podcasts, you can subscribe. Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Podbean, and of course, the many thousands who listen at joebucksfan.com. We'll see you later this week.